Hi, and welcome to Cryptobiography. I'm your host, Brandon Starr. This is episode 357 of Cryptobiography, and it's called A Trip to Italy. And yes, so I was out of town, and in fact, out of continent for the last few weeks. We'll get back to the free censor story, I presume next week. And I only say presumably because normally I have the time, I can do some writing this week, but I am still jet lagged, even though we've been back in town for 5 days now, and it's kind of crazy like how bad the jet lag has been for me this time around. I just have not been able to settle back into my normal schedule. But had a lot of fun. So what we did was the first part of my wife's trip was without me. It was with her mom and her sister, one of her sisters. And they actually went to Spain to do the, there's a pilgrimage walk. Her mom is Catholic and her mom wanted to do this. It's her 80th birthday year, so she wanted to do that. And with her family. So my wife and one of her sisters went with her and they did that in Spain. There's different variations. You don't have to do the whole thing is over 1,000 kilometers long. You don't have to do that much, but if you do over 100 kilometers, you get the special certificate. And so that's what they did. They did a little over 100 kilometers, and it basically rained the whole time on them. It was pretty rough weather actually. But anyway, so I went to Rome a couple of days before the tour started. We did take a tour. So I had a couple of days on my own. I bought a hat and a nice rabbit felt hat made in Italy and really like it. Wore it most of the time when I was on the trip, except when it was windy, because I didn't want to take a chance of actually losing it. And I had with me another hat that was only it was a $25 hat that I got at Target before I left. I had a ball cap too, but I never used it. I prefer the brimmed hats just so I can have, actual coverage and I don't get sunburned and stuff like that. So that was actually really good. Wore the inexpensive hat some of the time when it was windy, and then wore the nice Italian hat most of the time. Sort of a very dark blue, sort of not quite a navy, but almost a navy blue fedora, I guess you'd call it. And really nice quality. Like I said, it's made out of rabbit fur felt and was made in Tuscany. So there you go, by a company that's been around since the 1800s. So that was really excellent. And that served me very well. I did that in the first couple of days before my wife joined me. So her mom and her sister did not come on the Italian tour with us. They went back to Italy to visit some relatives they've got there. England. Back to England to visit some relatives they have there. And I'm sure they're back home by now. So we had a day or two in Rome before the tour started. And the tour started in Rome. So we got to try a couple of restaurants and we did a couple of things that were not likely to be on the tour. I did a couple of things that as well on my own that would, just to get some time on my own as well. And it rained a little bit for us in Rome, but that was the only time. The rest of the time it was very nice. In fact, it got a little warm towards the end. And I'll talk about that in a little bit later. So it was basically a 2-week tour with a company called Cosmos. It's one of the big touring, international touring companies. And they did a good job. I'll have a few recommendations later on to talk about it. But in general, the tour guide was good. The bus driver was good. And it was mostly laid out pretty well. We were pretty happy with most of the choices made of where we were going, how long we were staying at each place, for the most part. The thing about tours is that it's a really good way to sort of see the highlights of a country because, you know, we'd never, I had technically been to Italy once before. There was a family destination wedding about 20 years ago on my late wife's side. And so I had seen just Tuscany, but we hadn't gone outside of Tuscany at all. And so most of it was brand new to me. And in fact, the places that we went in Tuscany on the tour were not the places I had been anyway. So it worked out really well that way. And my wife had not been to Italy at all. So the tours are like a really good way to see all the important highlights. Like all, it's like if you want the best, you know, if you want the best hits tour of, you know, of a band, well, it's the same thing. Like do a tour of a country and you can hit like all these highlights. So we, in Rome, we saw the Colosseum. We saw several other, you know, important things like the Trevi Fountain and the Spanish Steps and a few other places like that. Then we went up the West Coast. We saw a couple of those beautiful little towns that, that like, for example, if you've seen the Pixar movie Luca, they're based on those little cities that are on the northwest coast of Italy. It was really beautiful there. We actually went to then the northern border. We actually crossed the border into Switzerland for one day. We got to do a little side trip where we took a it's a chairlift basically. It was the enclosed type, and went up to the top of a mountain and got to see like great views of all the Alps. It was really gorgeous. So technically I've been to Switzerland now too, which is nice, but just for one day and just in that one little area. Then we crossed back into Italy, went across, saw Verona, which is really beautiful. It's mostly famous because that's where Romeo and Juliet is set. And in fact, they have like the Montague and the Capulet houses that are actually there, because apparently the story was based on sort of like a local legend or whatever, that had somehow, you know, made its way to Shakespeare's ears, and you know, he fleshed it out and whatever, and of course a few things, you know, were not, you know, very realistic for Italy at that time, but the Italians love that story. They love Shakespeare, and they lean into it in Verona, I tell you. So if you go, there's not much at the Montague place, but if you go to the Capulet house, there's a statue of Juliet there. There's like all these you know, people have marked all over the walls, you know, with little hearts and stuff like that. You can buy these little locks in the shape of a heart to sort of, you know, prove your love or whatever. There's the window that, you know, she did the Romeo, oh Romeo speech out of. Originally, it was the way it was actually in Verona at the time, and then they sort of added the balcony, because there was no balcony mentioned in the play, but the movies added balconies, I guess, for whatever reason, just to be more visual, or just to give the character, you know, a place to actually go, that instead of just leaning out the window. And so now they added a balcony at some point, but which was kind of funny. But anyway, Verona was actually beyond the Romeo and Juliet stuff. There's it's just a lovely little town with some beautiful old architecture and so on. Most of it being like medieval type, and it was really gorgeous if you like that sort of style of European building and architecture and so on. However, they do have probably the best preserved Roman amphitheater as well. It's still there. It's in quite good shape. You can pay a few euros and go in, as we did, and go up to the top. You get a pretty good view of the rest of Verona, but you can also see the whole inside of the arena as well. And they're actually doing a lot of work on it right now, because they're going to be doing the Winter Olympics in 2026, and the amphitheater in Verona is scheduled to be part of the closing ceremonies. So, yeah, so if you are a fan of the Olympics, be on the lookout, because the Italian Winter Olympics in 2026 will be coming up in 2 years, and yeah, they'll be part of the closing. Basically where the closing ceremonies will be. And yeah, it's a beautiful old Roman arena. Not as big as the Colosseum now, because I've now been there as well. But really remarkable, pretty well preserved, and really well built and gorgeous. Anyway, after that, we went to, we saw Venice for a couple of days. That was really beautiful as well. Took, you know, the gondola tour, as you must if you go to Venice, especially with a romantic partner. You kind of have to do that, and we did. It was optional. Like, they didn't force you to do it, or it wasn't, like, you know, automatically a part of the tour, but they have these little things you can add on, and so we did that. And after that, we went down sort of the East Coast, hit a few couple things along the way. And then we went to Pompeii on the way down, which is kind of like crossing back over now. It's actually more southeast of Rome, but more towards the West Coast. It's basically on the West Coast, not on the East Coast. Pompeii was beautiful. We had a tour of Pompeii from a local tour guide, and that was really, really cool. Got to see a lot of interesting things there. Highly recommend it. Then we went down and saw a couple of places, Sorrento and Capri. And Capri was a really nice, beautiful little island, and had another tour there. A lot of local tours. Some were part of the tour, and some we actually bought as an add-on. And it's always worth it to me. The little local tour guide thing is always useful. Like, there was one in Verona as well, and it just gives you so much more information as to what you're seeing and when things were built and some of the, you know, historical things that were happening around that time and so on. Pompeii was really amazing. I would say, though, that this is like one of the times where we wish there had been more time spent in Pompeii. We were basically doing it on the way down to kind of to get to the next thing. And so we only had the tour and no free time at all in Pompeii. It would have been great to do that too, because it's quite a large site. And even, you know, the public areas that you can actually go to is really quite large and quite long. And we didn't get down to the other side at all, where there's an amphitheater. And the amphitheater is famous for a lot of reasons, but among other reasons, it's where Pink Floyd did their famous live concert at Pompeii. So, and you can find videos of that on YouTube and so on. And I would have really loved to have seen that, partly because I've seen that video, and I like Pink Floyd quite well. But it would have been great to go there, but we weren't given any time outside of the local tour. The local tour guide was great. We got to see some fun things. We got to see the kind of famous, there's a brothel, basically, and it has some of the only art that has actually survived on the walls. And it was actually like a menu of sex, basically, because the lower part of the brothel was the part that survived. The upper floor, just like every other upper floor in Pompeii, got destroyed by the volcano. And the upper floor, they have some indications that the upper floor would have been more the nicer upper class one, and probably more local for more local people. But the lower, you know, the lower one was more for, like, you know, people from out of town who were coming in and just wanted to have visit a brothel. And because of that, they would have spoken a lot of different languages, and they would have had some trouble communicating. And so because every picture of sex on the walls is like a different type of sex. It's like a different sex position or a different sex, whatever, experience or whatever. And so the idea is, like, you know, if you were there and you couldn't speak Latin, you could just point at the wall and then they would know what you were looking for. So that was kind of amazing. And also, later on, there was, cobblestones, carved into one of the cobblestones was a phallus symbol, and phallus symbols were used sometimes in Rome as, like, good luck charms or protective charms, But in this case, it was actually pointing the way towards the back towards the brothel. So if you're new to town and, you were just kind of walking around, you didn't know where the brothel was, and it was kind of like pointing the correct way, and you could figure out, oh, okay, well, it means you have to go right and then left, because it was kind of going diagonal to the street that it was carved on. And so you could tell, okay, it means it's going like down that street and then probably to the right after that. Anyway. So yeah, Pompeii, we would have liked to have had some free time at, but didn't get to. Yeah, and then after that, we went to Capri, like I said. Then we came back to Rome, and then we were free. That was the end of the tour. So a couple of things just to talk about in general. First of all, this tour, we did a tour of Greece last November, and I think I did do an episode on that. Yes, it was 336, Greece and Spain, because we were also in Barcelona for a little bit as well. But we didn't do a tour of Barcelona, as a wide thing. We did a couple of local tours, but we didn't do, like, it wasn't part of a main tour. But Greece, it was. This one, and it was for a different company too, Exodus, I think it was called. Anyway, this one was, like I said, Cosmos. They're both fine companies. However, the difference that we found was that when it came to the tour itself, the Greece tour was a lot smaller, because that was slightly more expensive, but not that much. And, but we only had, there was like less than 20 people on the tour. And then you had the tour guide. I think it was like 16 people or something like that. And so it was one of those like smaller buses, not like a half bus, you know, sort of deal. It was still a bus, but it wasn't like the full size bus. The Italy tour was a full size bus and there were 37 people. And while there's nothing wrong with that in terms of the sights that you get to see, because they can still get the tickets just fine and all that sort of thing. Like, they take care. That's actually the great thing about doing a tour like this, is you can see so much more than you could if you try to do it by yourself. Because if you're trying to get, like, you know, your local guides, you won't be able to do that at all. Tickets, you're going to have to deal with all that yourself. If there's any sort of issue, you're going to have to figure out how to deal with it, and you're not local. Maybe you don't even speak the language, but, you know, at all, or not very well. And there's just no way to see everything the way you can with a tour. So we got to see everything. However, with a group that large, you know, it made it a little harder. Mostly people were very good about being on time when they said, okay, you know, be back at the back here by 2:30 or whatever, you know, and that sort of thing. And people were very good about being on time, but it was still a pretty big group to sort of like move around and stuff. And so in terms of what we got to see was fine, but where the larger tour was not quite as good is the food. When you think of Italy, it's like one of the most famous cuisines in the world, and you definitely want to experience it. And it was a little hard to on a tour like this, because with 37 people, Any meal that was included as part of the tour had to go to a place that could serve 37 people very fast. And that meant it was, you know, it was either buffet style or it was sort of cafeteria-ish. Now, cafeteria Italian is still, you know, not awful. It's not awful, but it wasn't great either. And a lot of the meals were a little bit disappointing because of that. And one or two of them were actually not good. I can't remember exactly where they were, but anyway, a couple of the meals that were included as part of the tour were just not good at all, and unfortunately, and I can see why. Like, with a group that big, you know, they have to find the, there's only a limited number of places that you can actually serve 37 people very, you know, relatively quickly, so that they can be in and out and get going again. The good meals that we had were all ones that we found on our own, either during the tour or before or after when we were in Rome. And our favorite place that we found on our own was called La Tavernelle, and it is just a little bit north, it's a little bit north of the Colosseum. It's just a few blocks north of the Colosseum. You can easily walk it if you're in the Colosseum area. It's just north of it, called La Tavernelle. Really good food. Loved it every time. It's been around since the 1800s, and they have a bunch of pictures on the wall. Some of it is sort of Italian pop culture, you know, La Dolce Vita posters and such like that. But they also have a bunch of posters and, or not posters, but pictures of, like the old owners and the old chefs and stuff like that, who are like meeting with famous people of the time. There's one of, I think it's the owner with the Pope. And stuff like that, you know, presumably at the restaurant. It's a little hard to tell, but anyway, it doesn't matter. The food was really good, and we actually ended up going to the Tavernelle 3 different times total, and it was excellent every time. We had different things. We had a couple of dishes that we tried, you know, twice, but we tried to get different things every time, and we had some really good wine, and the food was excellent. And there were a couple other good meals that we found along the way to enjoy the Italian cuisine. But again, it wasn't the meals that were part of the tour. Those were at best good, you know, sort of like, oh, okay, this is good, but not really exciting or excellent. So that's where we feel like the smaller tour is a better way to go. And if we had to do it again, or if we end up doing like another tour, maybe of a different part of Europe or whatever, especially one where the food is, you know, where the cuisine, which it almost always will be, you know, it's trying the local cuisine is always an important part of a tour, I feel. Doing it in a smaller group is better. So the Greece tour, because we had like I think it was 16, 17 people, and then the tour guide, because it was a smaller group, it was set up in such a way that the tour guide actually was eating where we were eating. So like, she had like a really, high, you know, good reason to find all the little local places. And it's a lot easier to feed 16, 17 people. Yes, that's a bit of a crowd, but it's, you know, it's doable at a regular restaurant without, you know, maybe you have to call ahead, but you don't have to have like a buffet type of deal, or you don't have to have like a, you know, a cafeteria sort of type of meal. You can actually have regular restaurant food, and the meals in Greece were amazing, and we definitely felt like we missed out because of the bigger tour. So we would definitely do it a little bit differently if we had to do it again. And speaking of doing it again, we definitely want to go back to Italy because, for one thing, we tried to go to the Borghese Museum. It's like a famous art museum, and it's in Rome. The Borghese is based on the Borghese family that had power in Italy and in Rome for like hundreds of years. And then, you know, they're sort of very, very famous, wealthy family. And this museum is basically like, you know, it's one of their old villas, and it's been turned into a museum and has a bunch of really famous paintings there. Unfortunately, we weren't able to go because we knew it was like well regarded and stuff like that, but we didn't realize it was as hard to get into as it is. And it is a little hard to get into. So you basically need to get tickets ahead of time, and we didn't. Because of that, we gotten back to town. We tried to get in the first day, and then found out, oh, they don't have any tickets for like 5 days, and we were only there for 3. So, yeah, unfortunate. So we definitely want to go back to Rome at some point. This would be the sort of thing we would do probably on our own, because now that we've had the tour and we've seen like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, and we've seen, you know, some other things like that, like Venice and, you know, some of the other things that we enjoyed. But we don't have to like see the Leaning Tower anymore, that sort of thing. We would want to go back to Pompeii because we both felt like we wanted to have some actual free time there and explore it a little bit more and so on. It's a really large area. And like I said, we had one tour of like one chunk of it. And it was an excellent tour, but we definitely felt like we needed more time there. And there we go. I'm wildly jet lagged. I've been trying to get back into schedule, and it's going very, very poorly. But I am hoping that I'll be able to get my writing done, and then so this next Sunday we'll be able to go back to the Free Censor story and get back to it. So I am looking forward to that, and Hopefully you've learned a few things or whatever. Like I said, if you're going to do one of these, you know, tours of a place to, you know, sort of experience the highlights, that's great. Definitely take advantage of that. Definitely do as many local tour guide tours as possible. Usually some will be sort of included as part of the tour, but there's usually going to be some like optional ones. I would, in most cases, take those as well. I don't think we missed a single one that had a local guide. The things we skipped tend to be like some of the meals and stuff like that they were, you know, offering at different places. And we heard some good things about them, but some of them were not, even the optional ones were not that great. We're only, you know, so kind of so-so. So we decided, but anyway, get the local tour guide stuff going like that. And definitely think about doing it as a smaller tour if possible. There are tours that are specifically designed to introduce you to the cuisine. We didn't, obviously the one we were doing was not one of those. But we didn't want the one that was focused exclusively on like getting to the next meal. We wanted to see like certain, you know, like, museums and going to some of the famous places. Like we saw the Duomo and some other great places like that. And so definitely take advantage of that. Do it on a smaller tour if possible. Even if it's a little more expensive, it's probably worth it just so that the meals are going to be a little bit better and a little more authentic too, for sure. So I really, overall though, not, you know, I'm quite pleased with the tour. I had a great time. Italy's really remarkable. Definitely has its own things though. Like it has a few weirdnesses about it because it's, you know, it's another country. And, one thing is that we looked for, cause you know, we're, you know, they're used to the heat. We're not. And even though this isn't very, you know, this is before the main part of the season, this is still going to be into April, and we knew it could be hot, and it ended up being very warm the last couple of days. It was in the 80s, and we'd specifically chosen some hotels before and after the tour that included air conditioning, and none of the air conditioning worked. So what happens is they have air conditioning, but they don't turn it on until I believe it's like late May or something like that. So they have air conditioning, but if it gets hot, doesn't matter. They don't turn it on, even though we had like 3 days in a row where it was over 80 degrees outside and the rooms were quite hot and quite, you know, rather stuffy and sweltering. And, but it did not matter. In Italy, they just do not turn on the air conditioning until later in the season. You know, and we got a little unlucky because like it was like this little heat burst that happened like towards the end of our tour, especially when we were in Rome. And, you know, the day after we were leaving, it was going to go back down, you know, below room temperature again, and it would have been just fine. But we couldn't, you know, anyway, a little nuts. And there's some other weirdness too. You know, like, some of the, Wi-Fi in the hotels was very strange. There's a couple places where you had like limited data, which is very weird. Other places where like you kind of had to be in like the public areas in order to really use the Wi-Fi. It was not really usable in the rooms so much. But what are you going to do? It's all good. It worked out in the end. And yeah, and we had a ball. We definitely would go back to Italy. We really liked a lot of things about Italy. It's really remarkable standing in the Colosseum and seeing, you know, where so many things happened there. We saw the baths, which were really, really cool. There's the Pantheon we went to specifically as well. That was not part of the tour, but we went on our own to the Pantheon. Really recommend the Pantheon. It's gorgeous. And because it was early on taken over by the church instead of just abandoned and then like stripped the way like the Colosseum and so many other places were, it actually looks good and it looks more or less the way it did back in the day. Like obviously the Christians added a bunch of Christian stuff to it, but on the other hand, the fact that the Christians took it over is the reason it wasn't stripped, you know, by the Christians or by anyone else. So it's, you know, it's like, yeah, you, Christianity may or may not be your thing, but regardless, at least it made it so that the Pantheon, you know, looks more or less the way it did. You know, obviously the Roman god statues are not there. Instead, it's, you know, crucifixes and these little homages to different saints and so on. And Raphael actually is buried there, which is interesting. I did not know that, actually. But he is. And so that was kind of interesting, too. And anyway, so like the whole Colosseum, when you go to the Colosseum and you're in this, you know, giant area with all the stands around, but, you know, all of the marble is gone. You know, 99% of the marble is gone. It's all at St. Peter's Basilica. So it's like it was all stripped by the Romans, by the Christians. And so, which is unfortunate, because it's like, you know, because it was more or less abandoned after Rome fell, and for a while it was actually even used as just like an open area for cowherds and shepherds and stuff like that to sort of rest and bring their flocks to, you know, to have some shade during the top of the day and stuff like that. It was that abandoned at one point after the fall of the Roman imperial time, that, you know, later on the churches sort of came and they just sort of took all the marble out of it, and the marble is completely stripped, and now it's all in all these churches across Rome, but especially in St. Peter's Basilica, apparently. Anyway, I had a lot of fun. Definitely would and will go back. We'd want to at some point go back and see the Borghese. We want to see Pompeii again for sure, and we'll have to figure out some other places too. There's some. We did see one of the Florentine museums, but there's more that you can see there for sure. Anyway, I had a lot of fun doing it. Definitely recommend it. Do it on a smaller tour so that you can really enjoy the food. And check out the Tavernelle if you're near the Colosseum. It's excellent. Thank you for coming. And if you have any comments or questions about this episode or previous episodes, it's cryptobiography@gmail.com, or hit us up on Facebook or Twitter or Mastodon. And thanks for listening. Words and Music, copyright 2024, Brandon Starr, all rights reserved. And no need to mention characters and events, because this is all based on my own stuff. So anyway, have a good one, and thank you for listening.